everyone joining us online. Thank you so much for joining us and being a part of our family extended via the World Wide Web. Praise God for each and every one of you. Now, happy Black History Month. Thank you so much for joining us for the first Sunday of Black History Month in the calendar year. Shortest month, but we're not hating. We're still going to celebrate. I believe the Holy Spirit is inviting our attention to the book of Revelation, chapter number 7, verses 9 and 10. If you have your Bibles, would you open them up? Would you turn them on to that last book of the Bible? Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. John the Revelator writes, "After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" Holy Spirit, will you come and have your way? Teach us, speak to us, reach us in our hearts, in our minds, even in our bodies. Focus us that we can see and experience what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. In what environment do you feel most comfortable? Around what type of people do you feel most comfortable? You see, a lot of us want to belong. We have a great sense or need for belonging. We have this human desire within us to belong, but some of us feel like we don't belong. Even in a group of believers or those who are seeking Jesus Christ, maybe you're sitting here this morning surrounded by 100 or so people and you feel like you don't fit. You don't have a place. Maybe you pretend to be someone or something you are not in order to fit in. Maybe you do things or engage in activities that you don't necessarily agree with just to be a part of a group. Some of us have just given up altogether. We've gone to that other extreme of saying, you know what? Things are not working out. These people are not worth it. I'll just be alone. But God didn't create us to be alone. You see, God created us to be in community. He created us to belong. He wants you to know today that you belong. The challenge is that many of us tend to struggle with where we belong or who we belong to, or even if we want to go through the process of trying again. Because you know, that last time that relationship I was in, man, she broke my heart. Oh, man, that last church that I used to go to, man, I got hurt. Do you know what the pastor did? You know how they talked about me? That last group, that organization that I tried to connect with, man, they just weren't about the same thing that I was about. I don't know where or with whom I belong. I remember somebody saying to me, "Gary, the church would be awesome if it wasn't for those people." People are the problem, right? People. If I could just come to church and these people wasn't around here. Therein lies the problem. It's true. If people were not here, this would be, I don't know how awesome it would be. It really wouldn't be that awesome. Because people are the church. People make the church. And when you have people, you have messy situations. See, I don't know if you're aware, but the church is supposed to be messy. Just because you run into some mess, like, oh, some mess under there, I'm going to run to the next church, doesn't solve the mess problem. As a matter of fact, when you show up in the next church, that's when it get messy. Because you're the mess. You bring the mess. I bring the mess. We all bring the mess. Human beings bring challenging situations. But we've been sold this idea that everywhere we go, when we show up or when we choose to show up, that the place is supposed to be perfect and they're supposed to serve me when I squeeze this into my schedule. No, church is a collection of imperfect people who choose to be in community with one another as they work through the challenges of life together. We work together in unity and in love. You see, God has called us to belong together. Think about the Mariah Carey song. We belong together. Where's Leo? That's his favorite. No, Gary don't need to sing it. If I start singing, oh, I would love to sing now. All y'all going to leave. Like, whoo, it's a dog hollering in there. That's why we're starting this new series. Not because I can't sing. We're starting this new series called You Belong because I believe that God has called us to belong. And many of us struggle with this area. We will keep it quiet and we will stay in isolation and we will remain alone and we will suffer in silence and just live a terrible life instead of engaging in what God has called us to. Genesis chapter 2 verse 18 says that it's not good for us to be alone. And so we want to talk about belonging. Belonging, dictionary definition, means to be in close relationship. It's a sense of common purpose that binds us together. You see, when you belong, you have this sense of connectedness and unity of care and compassion, which takes time. It not only takes time, it takes consistency and vulnerability. You have to have all of those things to working together in order to belong. One has a greater sense of belonging when they are seen, when they are connected, and when they feel supported. And that is the church we need to be, folks. We need to be the place in Northeast Minneapolis where people come and they are seen. We need to be the church where people come and they are connected. We need to work together to help every single person who comes through those doors to feel supported. Amen. We are a church, a collective body of believers. Dr. Jeffrey Cohen, author of a book called Belonging, The Science of Creating Connection and Bridging Divides. He writes this, this is a quote. Belonging may seem like a comfortable but inessential luxury. However, it has potent, wide-ranging effects, including raising our sense of well-being and self-worth, improving our performance, lessening our defensiveness and hostility, increasing our tolerance of others, and making us more compassionate. In belonging, we become more humane. Belonging is a universal human need. It is something that all of us desire, but all of us also need. It is actually ordered by God. It's that prescription that we need to fill. Every one of us has something on the inside. No matter how much you're trying to separate yourself, you got a desire to connect. And when you don't, when your need of being seen, connected, is not met, you drift down the dangerous road of loneliness and isolation. I'm sure that there's somebody here today who feels lonely or isolated. Even though you're around folks and you're smiling so big and you're shaking people's hands, and when you go home, you sit and you sulk because you feel lonely. God created us to belong. God doesn't want us to suffer in silence. There's no one in the scripture who's felt this, felt the same thing that you feel more than the Apostle John, save Jesus. But the Apostle John, who wrote this passage of scripture that we read today, knows what it means, knows what it feels like to be isolated, to be lonely, to be apart and distant from everyone he knew. Because when he wrote this, he was exiled to the Isle of Patmos. Because he was a strong Christian leader, because of his Christian witness, the Emperor Domitian sent him away in isolation, solitary confinement, to be away from everyone else. He sentenced them to Patmos. Now, while in Patmos, guess what? That wasn't the only thing that made him lonely. See, because he was the last one left, the last of the apostles. All of his brothers, fellow brothers who walked with Jesus, were now dead. They weren't just dead, they had been martyred. Can you imagine getting the phone call? They didn't have phones back then. Can you imagine finding out your brother in the ministry, Peter, just crucified upside down? Can you imagine getting the call that most of those apostles were crucified? Some were boiled alive in hot oil. They were tortured and murdered. And now you've been exiled to an island. What's going on through the mind of John? He's like, man, am I next? They've already sentenced me to solitary confinement. Can you imagine what this man is experiencing? Maybe your experience is not as deep as John's, but maybe during this pandemic you lost some friends. Maybe some folks died died who were close to you in your life. Maybe some folks walked away. And you're experiencing the grief of, man, that was my friend, and now they're no longer here. Maybe you've experienced a falling out with your friends or just some kind of disconnection. Maybe your friends got married and had children and they can no longer be in relationship like they were with you before. It's a sense of loss, a sense of, what do I do now? And many of us isolate. God wants you to know, just like what he let John know, that even if no one is around you, you are not alone. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God will always be with you. If you are one of his children, all you got to do is call his name. His Holy Spirit dwells on the inside of you, and he will always be with you. You will never be alone. But we do have this need to be around other people. Jesus' message for you today is that you belong. You see, at the end of John's exile, he was actually released. And they released him back to Ephesus, and he was able to live his life out to his old age And he was the only one of the apostles who died of old age. Isn't that how we want to go out? Not crucified upside down. Lord, I don't want that. Crucified at all. It's not in my plans. Jesus has community for you. Let me go this way. Happy Black History Month again. Thank you. Black History Month. Black history is not only American history. It is American history. Hope you know that. It's not just some, oh, that's the black folk. Black history is American history, yes. But let us not limit it to that. Black history is world history. Black history is biblical history. Have you read this book at all? I don't know if you dug into it at all any time lately, but you see, some of us have been misinformed. Oh, I'm about to make you mad. Some of us have been deceived. Some of us have been hoodwinked and bamboozled. You see, in this book is the book of black history. In this book is the book of human history. We've been told through our educational institutions, we've been told even through seminaries. I've been told in my seminary that this man right here was a white man. We've been told by our traditions, we've been told by our families, regardless of ethnicity, we've been told by pseudoscience that anything African is inferior. Set the record straight today, though. Even if you have a nominal Christian faith, and you've only read a few passages of this book, just a cursory reading of these holy scriptures will show you that God values Africa and African people. So much so that he chose to engage in the activity of creating humanity in Africa. I don't know if you know this, but oftentimes we are told where the birth of humanity started. We're often told that humanity was created or started between the Tigris and the Euphrates River. You know, that we can identify where those rivers are today. We look at a map and we see that those rivers flow through Iraq. And so we're like, oh, yeah, humanity started in the Middle East. Everything is Middle East, right? But have you read the Bible for yourself? Have you actually seen what God had to say about the creation of humanity? If we check out Genesis chapter number 2, if you read verse 8 on through the end, he's talking about how Eden, where Eden was, that nobody knows where Eden is. Let me put that in. We know a general area where Eden was. That's all we know. But he gives us some clues to where it is. Take a look at verse number 11. He says, he's talking about the four rivers. There are four, not just the Tigris and the Euphrates. There are four rivers that run through and water the Garden of Eden. Do you know that? I wasn't told that growing up. Four rivers. Number one, the first is the Pishon. It winds through the entire land of Havilah, where there is gold. The second river, verse number 13, the name of the second river is Gihon, which today is called the Blue Nile. It winds through the entire land of Cush. Why don't we know about these places? Why aren't we told about these rivers? Because present-day Havilah is Sudan. And present-day Cush is Ethiopia. You want to know where you were born? You want to know where your ancestry come from? Everybody in this room is African. Welcome, my brothers and sisters. African countries are mentioned in this book more than any other collection of countries from any other continent. Too often our culture denies Africa. Too often our culture, or we deny African history. We deny our own history. We deny our own genealogy. We deny the African contribution to our own faith. When Africa is the locale that God used to tell his story. Where did God tell Joseph and Mary to go to hide Jesus? Oh, we want to think that's the Middle East. Oh, Egypt is not Africa, because that's, you know, that's the northern part. You know, them black folks all in the sub-Saharan. Do y'all know that Egypt was not conquered by the Arabs until 639 A.D.? 639 years of black folk running that space, building them pyramids. Don't you try and tell me no aliens built that stuff. I get so sick. Let me. I'm supposed to be preaching, Gary. I'm supposed to be preaching. Jesus, give me strength. Help me. But you see, folks, this all stems from, you're about to get mad. This all stems from a white supremacist hermeneutic of the scriptures. You see, if your Savior is white, then all other people become less valuable than whiteness. That's why we need to study the scriptures for ourselves. That's why we need to know Jesus for ourselves. We need to read the book for ourselves and not just accept somebody's tradition and what they told us about the book. Because people use that to dupe you, to make you think less of yourself. To my brothers and sisters of African descent in here, you are kings and queens. You are princes and everything. Listen, you better think higher than yourself than you ought to think. Well, not than you ought to think. That's bad. But think higher than yourself than you currently do. All right. If you get a chance, matter of fact, make that your homework. Read Matthew chapter 1 and read Luke chapter 3. Matthew chapter 1. In Luke chapter 3, in those two passages of scripture, you will find the genealogy of Jesus. One account is his legal line. The other account is his blood line. One genealogy belongs to Mary. That's the one in Luke. The other genealogy belongs to his legal father, not his true father in Joseph. If you do your homework and not just read the names and fall asleep reading a bunch of boring names, you will find, if you do some research, that there are some interesting individuals in the bloodline of Jesus. You will find that Jesus Christ's bloodline consists of all cultures and people. You will find African, including Egyptian, Liberian, Kush, which is Ethiopia, Eastern and Sub-Saharan Africa. You will find Asian, including those original inhabitants of Israel. You will find Palestinian. You will find present-day Iraq and Iran. You will also find blood from the Semites who eventually settled and became Europeans. Therefore, the Jesus that we call Lord and Savior of this world is not a white man. The Jesus we call Lord and Savior of this world is not a black man. He is not a Latino man nor an Asian man. Jesus is what the Greek word is, mestizo, which means one of mixed ancestry. You see, every single culture of the then known world can be found in the blood of Jesus. See, this blows my mind here. But this means that Jesus Christ, when Jesus Christ died, he bled his multi-ethnic blood on Calvary's cross for you and for me. Therefore, we all belong here together because we are under the multi-ethnic blood of Jesus. Preach, Gary! What you think I'm doing? This biblical hermeneutic It is a biblical hermeneutic, rather, that directs us to the truth and to see the true God for ourselves. That's what John wants us to see in Revelation chapter number 7, verse 9 through 10, okay? See the truth, to see what heaven is actually going to look like, to see what our future family will look like. And because we know what the future looks like, that should inform our present day reality. There are three things that Jesus wants you to know, take away today. We get right from this passage. Three things that he wants you to take away, to engage in, so that you can belong as well. We all belong in the family of God. But this is applicable to no matter where you want to belong. All three of these things. Number one, we need to believe that we belong. See, you belong in a great family. That family is the kingdom of God. And what John the Revelator has to say here, he says in the text that there was a great multitude that no one could count. When God gave him the vision and he could see into heaven, he was like, man, I can't count all them people. That's a whole lot of people up in heaven. So guess what? Next time them Jehovah's Witnesses come knock on your door, tell them, come on, let's have a Bible study. Because watch this. In that same passage, right before this, it says the 144,000 who will be sealed. Jehovah's Witnesses believe. I'm talking to you, Jehovah's Witnesses on the camera. You'll believe that 144,000 people are going to be saved. That's not what the scripture says. It says 144,000 Jews will be saved in the tribulation, and they will become witnesses during those end times. But then the next verse says, then I saw a great multitude that I couldn't count. It's more than 144,000. A great multitude. Yeah, that's more. If you are a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ, you are included in this number. You are a part of the family. You already belong. But watch who belongs. He gives us four descriptions of who he saw in that great city of heaven. Watch this. He gives, number one, he says that every nation was represented. The Greek word there is ethnos. That's where we get our English word ethnicity. So therefore, every ethnicity is represented. It ain't no white section of heaven, ain't no black section of heaven, ain't no Latino section of heaven. We all going to have to get along up in there. The next word he uses is tribe. That word tribe means, watch this, political division, social group, or culture. Yeah, they're going to be up there too. Every culture will be in heaven. He goes into the next one. Every people, every family, every lineage. Watch this. Because you, watch this. I think this is his word for somebody today, that you don't need to assimilate to someone else's culture to belong. You don't need to be somebody else, like somebody else, in order to belong. Next, he talks about every tongue. It's the Greek word glossa, which means every language, every dialect, right, will be represented in heaven. It's a whole lot of folk. One lady said the most beautiful compliment to me about this church. Just last week, she said, I attend this church, Mercy Vineyard Church, not because it's near my home. It is very far away. It is not in my neighborhood. I drive a great distance to get here. But I go out of my way to make sure my children and I have a diverse Christian experience. Folks, we got something special here. We have a little bit of everybody in this room, and God knows that's what heaven is going to look like. Before I run out of time, listen, if I had time, I would ask this question to you. So I'm going to ask it anyway. As I'm flipping through. I'm going. Just figuring out how to say it. Anyway, what spaces or groups make you feel comfortable? And What spaces or groups make you feel uncomfortable? If you are uncomfortable with God's beautiful mosaic, ask yourself why. God made us to belong in community, so the second thing that Jesus wants us to engage in order for us to belong is number two, bring your full self. God is not asking you to conform to somebody else, to be like somebody else, to act like somebody else, to preach like Gary, to sing like Amy or anybody else who's on this stage. He's not asking you to volunteer like somebody else or to pretend to be somebody else. He wants you to be you. You want to know why? Because Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, you are God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus for good works. You are God's artwork. When God finished making you, he stepped back and said, I'm bad. Man, you see what I designed? Oh, my soul. Like, that is beautiful. God designed you. You are an original, and then he broke the mold. Can't nobody else be like you? Can't nobody be as great as you? You are the best at being you, so be it. Sometimes you need to celebrate you. Be like, man, it's good to be me. You got to look in the mirror, be like, man, God showed off when he did this one. Yeah. You got to look at yourself and celebrate you. Not to be arrogant, but praise God for what he did in your life. I don't know where I am in my text, so I'm trying to flip pages. Anyway, it's about time. About time. Look, he's coming. He's coming. Listen, Psalm 139, verse 14 says, I praise you, God, because I have been remarkably and wonderfully made. Stop being afraid to be who God made you to be. Stop waiting for somebody to give you permission to be all that God created you to be. You be it. You step in the room and be like, I'm here. Yeah. Anyway. You belong because you have value, because God loves you, because God created you. Let me move on to here. The last point, then y'all can go ahead and sing, is this. God wants you to bow before the king. If you want to learn to belong, if you want to belong, God wants you to not only believe that you belong, not only bring your full self, but bow before the king. You see, Jesus is looking for some people who will submit to his leadership. He is looking for people who are willing to bring all that they are and lay it at the feet of the king. He's not looking for you to hold anything back. He wants you to bring all that you are to him. See, God made you to belong and bring every aspect of you, that aspect that you don't like, that thing that you're trying to cover up, that thing that's hiding in your past, that thing that you're proud of, everything he wants you to bring before him. Watch this, because when we humbly bring all of us to the king, when we humbly bow down before him and say, God, this is all of me, he can do more with the things that we don't like than we can do with the things we do like. He wants you to take every area of your life and bring it before him. What area of your life do you need to bow before the king? What area of your life have you been holding back? Or maybe you got too much pride in this area, and it's like, you know what? I'm keeping that part from Jesus. I'm going to do all this stuff over here for Jesus, but not this part. Maybe it's something in your life that every time somebody brings that up, you leave the room. You don't want to talk about that. You don't want to even address that, especially when it comes to community with Jesus. Jesus said, bring it all to me. Watch this, because you can't disappoint me. I love all of you. What? Jesus loves every part, every aspect of you. That's why he wants you to be you. So listen, all of us have room to bow more of ourselves before Jesus. There is, the more we submit to him, the closer he brings us in. So listen, what does that mean? That means this. My black brothers and sisters, you belong to God and you belong here. My Latino and Hispanic brothers and sisters, you belong to God and you belong right here. To my white brothers and sisters, you belong to God and you belong right here. To my Asian brothers and sisters, you belong to God and you belong right here. To my poor and my rich brothers and sisters, you belong to God and you belong right here. To my LGBTQ plus IA folks, you belong to God, you belong here. To, I don't care what, whoever you are, bring your full self here to mercy and submit it all to Jesus. And Jesus will do amazing things with this group of people when we all humble ourselves before him. Let us be the real church. There's no other church like this church in Minneapolis. Let us be the church, God's church. Let us be that most diverse church in Minneapolis, in the Twin Cities. Let us be the church that is the most inclusive church in the Twin Cities. Let us be the most equal church in the Twin Cities. Let us be the most empowering church in the Twin Cities. Let us be the most loving church in the Twin Cities. Let us be the most hospitable church in the Twin Cities. Let us be the most engaging church in the Twin Cities. Let us put down our pride and welcome everybody in and see what God will do with that. More important than anything else I say today is this. I want you to belong to the family of God. If you are here today and you've never taken that step to say, listen, Jesus, I believe in you. And I give my life completely over to you. You have your way. I want you to pray with me right now. Just everybody, if you bow your head. Father, thank you for loving me. Jesus, I invite you into my heart. I confess that you are Lord. In all the ways I've messed up, will you please forgive me? I know I'm going to mess up again and again, God, but I need your blood to cover me. Refresh me and make me new. In your name I pray. Amen. Listen, will you take a next step with me? If you grab your Connect card, if you prayed that prayer today, I'd like you to put a number one on that Connect card so I can be praying for your relationship with Jesus this week. And then everybody in here, I have another action step. Watch this. Identify one thing that you can bring before Jesus, one thing that you hide from him, that one thing that you refuse to bring before Jesus. Identify that one thing and take it to Jesus every day this week in prayer. And if you're willing to do that, I want you to write the word yes, where it says my next step, because I'd like to lift you up in prayer that God takes you through and strengthens you in that area this week. Will you do that for me? Take your Connect card and drop it in the back boxes on your way out today. And close the iPad. Would you stand with me? We're going to sing a song, but prayer teams, I want you to come on up now. Because God's going to do some things in people's lives. Listen. If you have anything going on in your life that you would like prayer for, the prayer teams are here to pray for you. We're going to sing a song. You can come on up and feel free to pray. But watch this. You don't have to just pray with them. If they're filled up, you can come and sit on the front row as you wait. But some of you need to come and bow down before God in a physical way. Some of you need to come and just bow down at the stage and do business with God. Somebody here today, this word hit you different. You've been isolating yourself and you haven't really even realized it. You've been separating yourself and it's like, you know what? I can't deal with those people anymore. I'm going to just focus on me, but that's destroying you from the inside out. God wants you in community. and he wants to do something special in your life and break whatever it is that's going on that's keeping you from trusting again. If that word is for you, please make sure you come up here and get prayed for, because I believe God is going to do something with that in your life. I think God gave me another word here that I wrote it down this morning. It's something, somebody, there's something that you're not proud of, and you need to come and bow that before the King. It's something that you're not willing to talk about. It's something that you're keeping quiet. You need to come and pray today. While they're singing the song, take this time to come and pray, and then we'll dismiss.